This is broadcast number 8 in the 158th Regimental Combat Team Series, KTAR, Phoenix. I am speaking to you now directly from the 158th Regimental Combat Team Headquarters, the home and office of General McNider, General Hanford McNider, who presently commands the 158th. It's a privilege to have this opportunity to speak with the General privately and to bring to you his expression of interest in the 158th as Arizona holds that interest, and to refer with pride to the current accomplishments of the 158 as well as the past accomplishments of this combat team. I want to tell you a little bit about General McNider before we begin our informal interview. He is a native of Mason City, Iowa, and one of the oddities about it all is that it develops that we now have more Iowa men in the 158 than we have Arizona men. I don't know whether we should call that sabotage or by some other term, but anyway, the Iowans seem to have taken over the 158, but with real credit, I might add, to the brilliant record of the group. In civilian life, General McNider was president of the Northwestern State Cement Company. As far as I know, he still retains that post, except for the fact that he is in absentee at the moment. And without pay, he voices in my ear here. A little historical data. General McNider was Assistant Secretary of War under Calvin Coolidge. He was the Minister to Canada under Herbert Hoover, which means that he must be a Republican, which pleases me mightily, being from Arizona, a Democratic state, and a lone Republican in most circles. I welcome him politically as well as professionally. He was at one time National Commander of the American Legion. I think it was in 1921. He was a World War veteran and came out of the conflict a major. He was wounded at Buna when serving in the 32nd Division. He is legendary with his men for his knowledge of the situation at any point and his close proximity to the fighting under all conditions. He had coffee with the mayor of Batangas about 2 hours before the infantry took the city, so you know he works well out in front of the boys. He took his aide-de-camp to a small town northeast of Batangas and asked his aide if he knew where he was, and the aide didn't know. He says, "You are in Cuenca. The infantry is going to attack here tomorrow." The infantry did attack and killed 83 Japs and destroyed 3 artillery pieces before it could reach the town. The general is self-styled as the best doggone Jeep driver in the United States, and from what the boys tell me, it's about 99% true. There is some debate on that, he adds, but we won't discuss the point here. He puts down here in his own handwriting that he's bold and homely, but tremendously proud of the 158th and his association with it. That gives you a thumbnail sketch of the background and personality of General Hanford McNider, the present commanding general of the 158th Regimental Combat Team. General McNider, how do you think the 158 compares with other groups with whom you have served?
The 158 is a unique organization, inasmuch as it is the only permanent infantry regimental combat team now in the Army. It's built up to have a tremendously heavy striking power, and with the spirit of those men of Arizona who put it together, and the inspiration clear back to the days of General Tuttle when he put it into shape, it is going on its way, still bringing fame, I hope, and a good name to the state which gave it its inception. It is a crackerjack of an outfit. And, of course, the infantry regiment, which does the fighting, all the rest of us are here to help it and to give it the backing that it needs when it puts on our battles for us, holds a very deep place in the hearts of everyone, I think, who has ever been connected with it. I hope it has a good name with those who have fought alongside of it. I hope it has a very bad one with the NIP. We try and make it a personal matter to see that the point in the line where the 158 meets him is the sorest one for the whole little cringing star of Japan.
General, I have heard it said that the Japanese have learned by the hard method that there is no more savage fighting team in the American ranks over here than the 158. Would you say that is true?
Well, we'd like to think it was true. We certainly have got the men who try and make it that sort of an affair every time they meet them.
General, perhaps you could explain just a little bit what is meant by a combat team. As I understand it, there are only two unattached combat units in the entire theater. And I think it's rather a mystery to a lot of people why we should have, outside of the divisions, groups of men operating as the 158 does, unattached except on occasions when it is adapted to a particular assignment and moved in, perhaps, in associate command with one of the divisions, as was the case once upon a time, I believe, with the 32nd Division. What is the real purpose for maintaining a regimental combat team of this type?
Well, a regimental combat team is an infantry regiment supported by a battalion of artillery, a battalion of engineers, armored force, all the other branches that go to make a complete little army in itself. It takes on any job that any division takes on and is used in places where it's impossible because of transportation and other difficulties to put in a whole full-size division. The 158 has got a saying that it's always relieved by a complete division, and to tell the truth, it has been in the last three operations, and I think they found that they needed most of the people that they had when they got there to take the place of this tiny little army of ours.
When did you join the 158, General?
Just about a year ago, but long before that I had heard of their reputation and took pride in knowing that they were a part of our army.
How do you think the Legazpi operation, which was your last one, compares with the other assignments that have been given to the 158?
We thought we had caught a lot of bad country down in New Guinea. We thought probably that we were out of that and the jungle was left behind us. But we found when we got to Legazpi that the Nip had holed himself up in one of the worst pieces of mountainous jungle that was ever conceived anywhere in nature. It was a tough fight. It was a mean fight. It was one of these blind fights. And we were fighting Japanese naval personnel who were left here to die and who had all the necessary armament to put on a first-class battle. It took us nearly 2 and 3 weeks to do the job completely. And there were times in that thing when we had to cheer the Jap ourselves because he put on such a grand show.
Thank you, General McNider. I think that it is my place as a representative of the people of Arizona, and more personally, General Tuthill, to congratulate you as the present commander of the 158th for the brilliant job of leadership which you have instituted not only in the rest areas but likewise under the actual combat conditions. I want you to know that General Tuthill met with me a few days before I left, and he made me promise almost on an oath that I would not come to the Pacific without being absolutely certain to visit the 158. There were two assignments I had, specially. One was to reach, if possible, the cruiser Phoenix, which I traveled a long way to accomplish, and the other was to reach you and the 158. Sorry to find so many of our Arizona boys absent. Glad to know that they've gone home and that that is the reason for their absence. So I know that those fellows who are at home, Colonel Wood and perhaps Colonel Stoft, who has a long memory of associations with the 158, and the other boys in the ranks who will be listening to this broadcast when it's presented at home, will welcome the opportunity to hear your voice. And I wonder if you'd like to say just a word to them, knowing that they're there and probably listening.
Well, all I want to say is that they, and I think every one in Arizona, can be sure that the men of this outfit will do their best to keep the high reputation of this grand old Arizona regiment where it belongs.
Thank you very much, General McNider. Friends, we've been visiting informally with General Hanford McNider, who now is in active command of the 158th Regimental Combat Team. A point of interest to me is the fact that the general has three sons, and The youngest one is too young still for military service. The next oldest is a private in the Marines and was on Iwo Jima. And Tom, who is 18, is an air cadet. So it may be said that they are following in the footsteps of their illustrious father and will ultimately take his place, no doubt, in the ranks of the armed forces of the United States. Again, thank you, General McNider, and especially thank you for the courtesy of the treatment you've given me during my visit here at the 158. I'm positive that Arizona will never forget you, and that General Tuthill particularly will be glad to have had this opportunity to hear from you personally. And now this is Howard Pyle returning you from the area occupied by the 158 to Phoenix, Arizona, and the entire state through Fred McPherson.